Welcome to the Awaken to Wholeness Summit. I'm Val Salivkar. Part of the vision of this summit is to invite us to know ourselves more deeply and to show up with each other in a more honest and authentic way. And today, we're going to explore a body of work that's actually a movement of authentic relating and circling. And I'm really excited to bring together Amy Silverman and John Thompson, two people that are leading this movement globally around the world. So let me tell you a little bit about them. Amy Silverman is the founder and lead facilitator of the Connection Movement, a global organization based in New York City that's committed to deeper connection and richer communication in our plugged-in, busy lives. Amy specializes in building community and culture, professional development, and enriching interpersonal communication by creatively bringing people together in ways that generate new possibilities, connection, learning, depth, and growth. She's facilitated the launch of new communities and trained facilitators internationally and is currently focused on creating a global alliance of connection-oriented professionals and organizations. John Thompson is one of the founders of Circling Europe, which in 4 years has spread the practice of circling to 20 countries and also helped to define and evolve the paradigm-shifting practice of circling. Together with his business partner, Sean Wilkinson, they pioneered Surrender Leadership, which we'll talk a little bit about later, trained close to 200 circling leaders around the world, launched an online circling platform, and recently published a book chapter on circling. John is an award-winning scholar, having published numerous journal articles in the field of integral theory and personal development. He's also a certified integral coach. It's great to have you guys here. Absolutely. You guys are just really creating a movement. Thank you.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Yeah. I feel like, you know, right now, for a long time, you know, we have this sort of epidemic of disconnection in our world. And one of the most important things we can do is to be more present with ourselves, you know, be more vulnerable with each other and just, you know, show up as we are. Right, and meet each other there. And that's what I love about authentic relating and this really unique meditation practice of circling that is so different from what we normally think of as meditation, right?
Yeah, well, people usually think of meditation as something you do in isolation or maybe in a room with other people, but not in connection with other people. And circling is quite different from that.
Yeah. I'm so excited to dive in with all of that. But I'd love to know what got you both, you know, into this movement and just how you connected together. So what brought you here? Either one of you, whoever wants to jump in first.
Go for it, yeah.
Okay. When I first came across circling, just a bit like you said, I just very quickly got a sense that there's something very different in this. Like there's just a kind of permission in it and almost like a coming home is what it gave me. Like, just like, oh, I can just come back to where I am now and just like go from there, rather than before it was more like always kind of calculating and easy to lose myself and hide things. And it just kind of like recentered me in a new way where I could just stay closer to myself and really go on a kind of new adventure in my life from there forwards.
Yeah. How did you find it? How
did you discover it? Came across it on a podcast about 8 years ago, and we just picked up a few parts of it, and then me and Sean practiced it together, and we just started looking in each other's eyes and following some of the basic practice, and it just went incredibly deep. Like, we were both really awkward with it at first. Oh, this is a bit strange. But carried on, and then we started to feel like we were on drugs, and then I think the practice was to only ask a question if you're really deeply called to. And then I asked Sean some stuff, and then he started like going down like this. It was as if he was turning into a child, and he started getting memories from his childhood that were really kind of painful but powerful. And he'd done a lot of therapy before, and this was like bringing stuff up that was really, really deep for him. So it was like straight away, we just kind of dived. We heard like bits about it, and then we just dived in together and started bringing it into our lives, and kind of went from there.
Wow, it's amazing. Did you feel that it was something, were you looking for something when that came into your life? Were you feeling like, was there like an inquiry in that way?
Kind of, I didn't know I was missing it, so, but then, yeah, didn't know I was missing it, but then it started to really show up. It really just shone a light on all the ways that I wasn't really being honest without even realizing I wasn't being honest.
Wow, that's so, that is something that we so need to dive into, the fact that you didn't even realize it, and how many of us walk around not knowing that we're not deeply connected.
Right. Yeah.
Wow, John, thank you. Amy, what was it like for you? Where were you when this first came into your life?
I was at a bar at a birthday party, and I met a gentleman named Brian Bayer, who was one of the early to this community, and one of the people who really helped bring it out into the world. And he circled me in this bar. I didn't know that that's what was happening, but what I experienced in connection with him was a more profound relationship with myself and a way of feeling myself that I had been longing for and seeking in my life. And I just, it was sort of, it felt magical to me that just a human connection could actually bring me, a connection with another person could actually bring me closer to myself. And traveled to Boulder, where there was a community growing, and discovered really the gift of living in community with other people who have these values, and being able to do business with these people and socialize and date, and just that, like, that it was this whole other world. And I realized I really wanted a world like that. And so when I came back to New York, I decided to start building one and teaching other people. It was kind of selfish, almost, in a sense. It was like, well, I want to live around people like this, so I'm going to have to teach them all to be the way that I want them to be so I can have the community that I want.
That's how we often do things. I want to have these conversations. I think it's really important. So I created the summit so I could have some really great conversations with amazing people doing incredible work in the world.
Right.
We all get to benefit from it, right?
Yeah.
So then you created, from that point, you created the Connection Movement, and that's based in New York City.
Yes. Yeah. It was called Authentic Relating New York at first. And later on, I realized that my vision was much bigger. I was part of an international experiment called the Eye Contact Experiment, where tens of thousands of people around the world were stopping on the same day and making eye contact with each other. And by doing that and having this work scale in that way, I realized that I wanted to be part of something bigger. Mm. Yeah. Yeah. So that's when the shift happened for me to actually call it a movement.
Yeah. Yeah. And definitely, I mean, and both you guys touched on the fact that you didn't even know, like we were saying, John, you weren't even aware that you needed this. And I feel like I was saying, that there is kind of this epidemic of disconnection in so many ways where we're not even aware of how deep it goes, or how deep we go, or how deep we aren't going. You know, what's possible, the potential that's within us, until we get an experience of it.
Right.
And when we do, it profoundly shifts us in a way that we can't possibly go back, because now we've seen what's possible, right?
Exactly.
So it becomes a lifetime commitment to going deeper. Kind of like with drugs sometimes, right? Well, we'll try a little more. How far down does this rabbit hole go? This is an authentic, beautiful, pure way of exploring really where we are, how we are, and how we meet each other there. Mm-hmm. I love it. So why do you think that we're experiencing this in our world? Let's talk about that. Why do we all walk around not even realizing how much more we can, you know, how much deeper we can go? Why are we here? What do you guys think?
It just reminds me of kind of evolution of culture. It's like, you know, the pre-abolition of slavery, it was kind of like just normalized, you know, before women were given the vote, people weren't thinking, it just wasn't in the consciousness. And this for me just feels like another thing that's just, it's like it was always there, but it just wasn't, we weren't resonating at that frequency or something, like we weren't able to actually, it wasn't the right time or the right place to kind of land into it.
So sort of part of the evolution of our consciousness.
Yeah, that's how I see it.
Yeah, I can definitely see that. Like we're being called to, it's really an invitation of curiosity, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
As a species, right? Like as a species, a self-reflective species, we're so curious about who we are and how we're here and what is all this and what's life and what's death, and like we have so many questions, and this is sort of an embodiment of that deep inquiry.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a kind of luxury to be where we are, you know, to have surplus time and money to then be able to go deeper, to find a deeper meaning of what, you know, previously people are more like they need to earn the money or survive or war. Or so I think it's a combination of having that freedom and then also having a profound access to all the world's knowledge traditions and all the world's wisdom. It's like, you know, theories like integral theory, which bring together knowledge fields from every culture and kind of join the dots. And then, you know, that's helped inform the practice of circling, which in one sense is completely basic and human, but it's also based on like cutting edge research and stuff that wasn't even that available until, you know, this century, really.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's so interesting how much, like you're saying, like integral, how much we've explored and how much we come to understand, and then to put it all together and sort of pull the best that from each thing that
right
and create something really dynamic that's like this web of all this great wisdom that we've almost compartmentalized in some ways,
right?
And to like create this larger entity from that, that's evolution, right? Yeah, super powerful. And I think, you know, it is such an incredible invitation to move past this just fear of being seen, you know, being vulnerable. Like we have this idea that vulnerability is something like a weakness, but there's, you know, all these people all around the world, all these great, you know, teachers and leaders telling us, no, vulnerability is a strength. You know, when we allow ourselves to be open, right, then we can be filled with so much. And the more we allow ourselves to be open, the more we allow ourselves to be vulnerable, the more powerful we become, the more connected we feel. Yeah.
I'm thinking, Val, you've got it.
Well, that's why we're here. We're here to dive into it. So let's talk about what it is. So authentic relating, circling, all right, we're throwing these terms around. We're like teasing everybody with it. So what is authentic relating? What is circling? How do they flow from one to the other? What's the relationship there?
So the way I would answer that is authentic relating is a broader term for this way of being and connecting with others, with ourselves, and really committing to an alignment of what's inside and what's expressed. It's explored through a body
exercises that are care.
So authentic relating is a broader term for this body of practices, this way of being with each other that allows us to really focus on the alignment of what's happening internally, and what's alive for us, what's true for us, and what's real for us, and how we actually show up in the world. Mm-hmm. And it's shared and taught primarily through two kind of avenues. One being what we call authentic relating games, which are, there's a huge, huge range of these exercises that allow us to explore our communication, how we connect, how we relate, what stops us in relationship and what stops us in connection. And there are structures that allow us to explore that in kind of a laboratory setting. In fact, when I hold those trainings, I call them connection labs, so that it's an environment to try things on and experiment and use the data to grow and change and inform us. And then the way I would describe it is that under the umbrella of authentic relating, there's this depth practice, this deep presence relational meditation practice called circling. So I would say that circling is absolutely authentic relating, but all authentic relating is not necessarily circling. And I wonder if John wants to jump in and describe what circling is.
Sure. Yeah. So circling, at its base, it's the exploration of presence really in our connection. So it's bringing the acceptance and awareness that people are familiar with from say, a Vipassana meditation, and bringing that into our connections and into the group. And we have a series of practices and tons of distinctions and kind of ways that just help us facilitate that deepening into presence and connection. So some of those are similar to what Amy's called authentic relating games. Like, we'll do practices, which Amy will lead one later on, which are pair practices where we kind of home in on specific things. But then also there's something called birthday circling, which we might have a little exploration of, where one person gets the attention of, say, six people, and it's an in-the-moment just exploration of that person as they are there. And we're not trying to change the person in any way. We're just trying to actually really follow our curiosity and be with the nuances of their experience, and also have the courage to share our kind of in-the-moment experience. You know, if suddenly someone speaks and a few of us feel fear, then we would share that so that there's this immediate feedback of truth and presence, and we get to track what happens. And then there's the practice of surrendered leadership that we've developed, which is more of a group meditation where it's an invitation into the collective intelligence. So in a way, we surrender our leadership and we become part of the group dynamics and the group presence. And it's kind of like an orchestra, and we're all invited to play our instrument, and we help tune each other, and we create some quite amazing symphonies.
That's a beautiful metaphor. Hmm. Yeah. It's like that in life, isn't it? When we come together, but here we're coming together with such an intention.
Right.
Holding that intention to be really present with what's here now in this moment.
And attuning to it, attuning to each other and tuning into ourselves to find that the unique expression that's alive and in this precise moment, like what the alchemy that's here in this precise moment and this precise moment and this precise moment over and over again.
Alchemy is a good word, because it's like the kind of paradigm shift of circling is when you're birthday circling someone, is like it's you're not trying to change them or direct them or steer them or therapize them, or, you know, so if someone's really sad, it's not like, oh, you know, I can make you feel better. It's like, what's the quality of sadness? Is it like, is it grief, or is there some joy in there as well? And it's the paradox is that in that profound kind of being with people just where they are, a lot of transformation happens. So often things that coaches would have their eye on is things that they would want to kind of transform in someone. It just happens completely organically in this circle. The person who's being circled like comes up with that themselves. It's like, that's what brought me into circling. It's like, wow, this is more powerful transformationally than coaching that I've been doing. But the crazy thing is, like, we're not actually doing that. We're just being with people really in an honoring way, in a juicy way, because there's so much truth and the space for that, the space to hold like where everyone is and honor where everyone is and work it all out.
There's a lot of trust that comes with that, trusting ourselves and trusting the wisdom, the dynamic of the group, the container that's created. And then I love what you're saying, how it's not about figuring out the answer. It's about asking the questions.
Yeah. It's not about getting anywhere.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So what have you found to be some of the benefits of circling, like in yourself and then what you've seen in others?
Where to start?
There's so many. There's so many.
I guess there's three categories for me. Like the first is just personal revelations. So just like things that have, you know, never been seen. You know, for me, I was seen and met in my kind of subtle social anxiety in a way that it relaxed for the first time in my life and became pure expression. So I just had this whole new experience of, you know, that I'd been in a kind of not, I think we're all limited to our perspective to some degree. And it's like we get to open up into this new part of life that we just literally didn't know was there. So just personal revelations are very, very common. The next piece is on kind of connection and just breakthroughs in intimacy. And, you know, people within 5 minutes of circling, they're often in like they're feeling more intimacy than they've felt in their life or, you know, felt for a long, long time. And so it really creates that connection and intimacy and gives tools on how we can generate that more in our lives in general with others.
And I bet too, in an intimate relationship, it would be magical to be able
right.
to take that level.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then the third piece is in a more spiritual dimension of the kind of, I've had way more awakening or spiritual experiences in the group format, in a kind of we space spirituality, as it's called, than I have on, you know, just meditating alone. Or so like states of oneness and basically feeling myself and the other and waking up, and those kind of things are quite common in the space. And it's been my most, out of all the practices, it's like that's just a bonus. We're not even trying to make that happen, but that through the intimacy and the profound connection, then it's like it opens up for spirit to come into the room. And so there's the real, that's a big piece of it.
It seems like the opposite of spiritual bypassing.
Right.
The idea of like.
Exactly.
Disconnecting from everything that is. So you're transcending whatever is. It's just like going into it.
Right.
Full on, full force, 100% all in.
And then there's another piece that is one that I tend to really gravitate towards, just with what my own values are, is the capacity for this to create community, to create a sense of connectedness and togetherness. It can also create a sense of separation too, you know, when we're truly present with what's alive in us. But
That's part of the authenticity of it too.
Yes. Yeah. But the way that we can feel in connection with others who are committed to the same values and practices and principles can create a sense of belonging and connectedness that I think is another piece of the epidemic in society now, of this, the disconnection that you were talking about, and people feeling isolated.
Yeah, absolutely. And not really knowing how to come together. I mean, as community builders that we are, so many times I've met people who are really hungry to find people that feel like they do, think like they do. Like you said, Amy, when you came back and you're like, I have to create this because I just want to be around people who want to go deeper, you know, like we're hungry for that. We want community. I think we thrive in community. I think we just evolve exponentially, you know, so much faster in relationship, right? We grow, we deepen, like we work out our shit. Like we you know, we handle it all in such a unique way when there's a dynamic of relationship around us. And community is such a huge aspect of that. I'm also thinking about, you know, the very basic part of connecting, where it's like, in order to really connect with somebody, we have to allow ourselves to be seen, you know, kind of bringing us back to that space of vulnerability. And in circling and in the authentic relating games and those things, it really, there is this invitation to allow yourself to be seen, right? And be real with what's alive in you. You know, so we're like, I'm good. We're not playing. It's not small talk, you know, it's not any of that. It's just, even if you don't know, it could be like, I don't even know what's here. I'm feeling numbness. Well, what's that? You know, well, let's go into that. You know, so it really does invite us to be seen, even when on a messy day.
Right. And the nice thing is there's not a pressure that you have to suddenly reveal everything and show up. And for a lot of people, they'll often feel like, oh, I feel like a boundary up, or I feel like a wall up. Mm-hmm. And it's them, it's like, oh, what's the wall? And like, we'll explore that. And there's so much interesting stuff in like, yeah, wow, like a wall. Like, is it you want us to inside, but we can't? Or is it like, no way, there's no way you want to come in here? And so much intimacy can be created just from the kind of barriers to connection.
Right. I love that, John. I love that you just said that, because being where we are sometimes means like, yes, there's this wall. Okay, well then what is the wall? So there it is in the circle where now you get to explore with that. Like, there's no wrong answer. There's
right.
judgment about it. And that's pretty too. Like, you're not coaching somebody in the sense of trying to figure out the answer for them, or, you know, tell them, you know, like you have to have it. You're inviting them to ask the questions, and you're asking the questions because we generally become curious about each other. And that brings out a more authentic way of relating too, in that sense, yeah. Right? And just in general in life, like sometimes we ask, well, you know, how are you doing? But we don't really care.
Right.
It doesn't happen in life, you know, but you ask because you're supposed to, or you're supposed to be a certain way or act a certain way or do a certain thing. But here is an invitation to not ask if you don't genuinely mean it, you know, to just, I don't even feel like talking right now. What does that feel like? Not wanting to talk. You know, like there's so much. So every single place you go, there's a curiosity.
Yes. I really believe that curiosity is sort of the skeleton key, the master key that can open connection and relationship. And if it's authentic, if it's true curiosity and it's pure. It's a huge gift to offer to another human being.
Yeah.
Your genuine curiosity.
Absolutely. And so you mentioned Ken Wilber earlier and how this became sort of the embodiment practice for his work. Can you guys talk a little bit about that? Because we were talking about integral, right? Integral and bringing all of this together. And then this, just that relationship is interesting.
Yeah, that was a big inspiration for me because I had studied integral theory and I was so passionate about it and it felt so important. But in a way, it was kind of disconnecting me from people. Like, I was telling people to read Wilber who didn't want to read it, and I felt separate and circling was it, like, it took what were integral values for me and then made it so I could always show up in that way. Like, I could always reveal what was going on for me, and I could always, like, the idea of integral theory is that no one's 100% wrong, so there's always something important in every expression. And that is, it's not 100% right either. Like, there's always stuff to discern and get more clarity over. So the idea of then in connection, it's like really being able to honor everything that's coming up in me and someone else, but use our authenticity and our willingness to connect to kind of discern and get to the gold that's coming out, you know. And it might look like iron to start off with, but through the practice of circling, we stay in and we honor it and we, you know, we get to the gold. So it just gave me this huge permission to kind of show up more. And it's like, yeah, maybe I don't have to explain integral theory. And actually, it's like, wow, I'm a lot more vulnerable than I thought. And when I'm talking in my head about integral theory, I'm avoiding the fact that I'm nervous. So let's just start with sharing that I'm nervous and go from there.
Right. Wow. Yeah, that's great. And it's so important to be able to put things into an embodied practice and not just theory.
Yeah.
So this is really that living practice of everything you just said so eloquently. And also, how do you feel like this brings up sort of our shadows? Like when we get into this, like how have you seen that revealed in the interactions with Encircling?
I can say a lot on this. The first take is just the amount of feedback you get. It's incredible. So I just remember in a very simple practice early on, someone just saying, oh, they noticed that my jaw seems tight. And I hadn't noticed that at all. And then I was like, oh yeah, there's all this tension. And then I realized that in the tension, there was anger that I had no awareness of. So it was like, oh, I started to get awareness, like there's anger in my shadow. And then, you know, that unfolded and integrated over years and years. So that's one really direct way, is that the feedback is so profound that you constantly get to see more of the parts of yourself that that you're not aware of. But my kind of favorite definition of shadow now is less of a kind of therapeutic and it's the bad stuff in there. It's more like it's our unlived life. Mm. So our potential is in our shadow. Mm. And that's what shows up so much in Circling, is when people are seen and met and given clean, sometimes very strong feedback, but like in a way that they know it's the truth. Because it's, you know, if six people say I'm tensing up in my body when you speak, it's not something to argue over. That's the truth. So it's like this kind of feedback that it's not a discussion about what's right or wrong. It's just like, you know it, and it lands. And that process seems to lead people to step into their potential. So it's like it helps people to integrate their shadow and integrate their unlived life. And, you know, the ways that through their upbringing or through society, parts of themselves have been thrown into the shadow. It's like that gets to be revealed and bring them into a fuller potential.
Yeah.
Because I remember in my second circle, I had to face some difficult things of like people were challenging me and I was kind of getting lost. And I said, well, I think I've got some skills and I think I've got something. And then I got really challenged. But then at the end, everyone just started saying, wow, we see you as a leader. You could be a leader. And then I was like, well, what? And then someone said, what could you lead? Or what could you bring? And I had no idea. But then in the connection, it just kind of came. It's like, wow, love and like, oh, there's discernment. Like I can see this. And it was like the gifts just started to come down. And then the whole circle saw me as this leader. And I'd never thought about being a leader or never come on my radar. And then a year later, I quit, you know, a really good job to start leading this around the world. And so that was like the potential just showing up in the space in a way that, you know, I could have never have foreseen beforehand.
Wow. And really hearing that. And what I'm thinking about when you say that is how you can extrapolate. Now we can extrapolate the experiences that happen within the dynamic of the group during Circling experience into our every moment in our lives. When somebody comes to you and says, hey, you know, I'm noticing this, it may or may not be real, but how am I being triggered to that? And what does that bring up for me? And is there something to explore with? Because I think, you know, for a lot of us, myself included, many times I go right to being defensive. I have the tools, but I still like, wait a minute, you know, but here's another way to sort of ask the question rather than go to an immediate habitual response of protection, wall, you know? Right. So it really, like, there's so much from the experience that we can bring into our lives to then sort of become an example of how to handle things in a more open way. It's a powerful experience.
And it becomes a way of being in your life, a way of meeting each new moment in your day-to-day life with that curiosity and that inquiry, that open inquiry. And also, it becomes a way of how you bring yourself to others in that what John was just describing about how people are offering reflections or communicating what they're seeing. It's done in a way where we really own our experience and we're not projecting with each other or leaping to conclusions, but actually staying in a space of observation and reflection of what's absolutely inarguably true of, you know, I'm noticing this in your jaw, or when you speak, I feel this, versus why are you so tense?
Right.
Which is going to generate or spark more of a defensive, because whether it's positive or negative, we generally don't like to be told what we are.
Yeah. And it also brings us into more of a noticing space where we actually are paying attention to each other.
Yeah.
Anyway, right? We're really taking time to be with each other and see each other rather than caught up in our own thoughts or caught up in our own whatever it is. You know, we're like, how do we can open our sense of awareness, sort of, but being, though, I guess the wording, the language sometimes, like staying at that level of awareness, right? Mm-hmm. Staying at that level of awareness, like just being really present to what is and with each other, with ourselves.
Just as you say that, I started to do that a little bit with you, and I started to tune into the tone of your voice, and I could feel it soothes me. I can feel my heart, and just, yeah, very sweet.
Thank you. I almost felt myself saying, hearing that, we immediately flow into an invitation. But hearing that, for real, I feel a warmth and an opening in myself that this, like a motherly nurturing space that wants to just hold, you know, I'm feeling that, like really connected to that as you were saying that. Mm-hmm. This might be I'm sorry, John, what did you say?
It just makes my heart beat more and feel more intimate with you, and that fits about the holding. There's a way that I feel very, held by you. Like there's a space for me to speak about this thing that I'm passionate about, and it feels like a privilege to me.
It is. I feel it too. I feel really excited at the idea of people tuning into this and even feeling the energy of our conversation in this particular moment. Mm. And how we're just naturally tuning in to what's here and how we're being moved by the other in this moment. So I'm aware that people are listening in this moment too. And I'm like excited by that. Like, are you guys feeling this? this little teeny tiny taste of this moment that's so sweet and loving and genuine and open is, you know, like a microcosm of all of this. So shall we dive in even into this beautiful meditation, Amy, that you were going to hold us in?
Yes.
That'd be a great space to just move right into the experience, could continue, I should say, because I feel like we've begun.
Mm. Absolutely. So I'll guide you and John into this experience, and we'll see what unfolds. So you can close your eyes and start tuning into or deepen your attunement to what it's like to be you in this moment. Noticing the body sensations, your mood, or the tone of your moment, what's in the background of your experience. What's in the foreground of your experience, calling your attention. Essentially, what we're doing is preparing ourselves as instruments to perceive what's happening in us, like tuning forks. scanning your body to notice what's happening. In a moment, I'll invite you to open your eyes and connect with each other. When you do, the invitation is to notice what happens in your own present experience when you're connecting with this other person. Receive the shifts, if there are any. You can open your eyes and connect with each other. I'm still tuning in to what is it like to be me now? In connection with you. How am I impacted by my connection with you? There's a chance to explore your attention here. You imagine that there's a slider like you would find on a light dimmer or a soundboard, and all the way on one end of that slider, your attention is completely on yourself. And then the other end of that slider, your attention is on your partner entirely. How does your experience change as you experiment with where your attention lands? You may notice different sensations and emotions, different rhythm or tempo in your experience. I will shift to revealing what's happening. So we can start with Val, and he'll share right now, being with you, I'm noticing. You can share what's happening inside of you or something that you're observing in John that's inarguably true. And John, you'll respond with hearing that, I'm noticing, and share the impact. And we'll go back and forth. Can begin now.
Right now, being with you, I'm noticing a curiosity within me. I'm aware that this is the first time we're getting to connect, and I'm just so curious to know what's happening within you in this moment. I'm really tuned in a curious way to you.
Hearing that, I notice the base of my spine starts to shiver. it's like I was really getting someone is actually interested in me or like has attention on me. Makes my base of my spine shiver.
Hearing that, I feel my body taking a deeper breath. Just breathing deeper in this space.
Hearing that, I want to come closer to you somehow, or it's like I get interested in who you are and what's in your heart. And it's like, I want to come closer.
Hearing that, I went straight into Headspace for a moment, and my thoughts were around just how incredibly connecting it is to speak what's alive in the moment. Like my thoughts are thinking how incredible it is to speak out what you feel, whether it's good, bad, right, wrong, like there's nothing, it just is. And to be in that space, I'm feeling like I'm getting excited. My body wants to grow. it feels so good.
I just feel like a beaming smile and light, and wondering what this is, why this happens.
Hearing that, I'm just wanting to feel into it. That sigh. It just feels, there's just a really good feeling, a beautiful feeling right now in me. Just feeling that, just feeling into it.
Hearing that, I feel like just my energy increases. It was already high, and it's like I received you in some way, and it just made me more full and shy and joyful.
I'm feeling those feelings coming up in myself when I hear that in you. Tapping into this like a mirror right now. I feel like it. Reflecting those feelings inside myself.
I'm starting to get this sense of high, like that I've been in, and then like this other sense of like maybe the low or the what's in the background. And then the high's still there and making me happy as well.
Hearing that, I'm reminded of the state of joy ever present, even when there's pain, because as I heard you say that, I'm reflecting on my background is holding a lot of sort of dark and intense feelings right now with some things happening in my life. And yet there's this joy that I'm feeling and I can sense that we're sharing that also feels like always present. And I feel like I'm aware of all of that in this moment and feeling like into my body, into all of that in this moment. I'm putting my hand on my chest and you can't really see, but it's like in the space, just feeling in the space, like there's this movement happening in my chest.
I'm starting to think if Amy's going to end the exercise.
I've been feeling pulled to share other facets of what circling is, as noticing and revealing and sharing impact is at the core. And there's more in terms of curiosity and diving deeper into what's revealed, diving deeper into what's present. As you put your hand on your chest, Val, I wanted to ask what it was like for you to share that. And so this opportunity is here as well, and circling to bring our curiosity our intuition, our impulses or desires, all with the foundation of, or the principle of owning it when we share it.
Yeah, I'm glad you're speaking to that right now, Amy, because too, like it, being in that space, it felt like if we had, you know, a couple more hours to play and, you know, to really dive into the space, like I can feel that there's a surface tension in a way, you know, that a feather could land on and burst from me right now. Mm. You know, like there's a right here holding, and it's just right there. So just being aware of that space, and that possibility, and knowing the power and the potential that this holds, experience of circling, and, you know, almost wanting to, like, after we're done, can we continue for another hour? Because you can feel it, you know, how, like, when you're in it, you really want to go deeper into it. You really want, you want to keep going. You want to, like, you, like, I want to know. I want to know what that feeling is. I want to know what's in there, you know? And there's something magical that happens in that group dynamic. You know, we can go into meditation alone and explore what is this feeling, and we should, and we should do that too. And being here, being seen, you know, and being held, it just opens it to a whole new level, a whole new experience. It really does. And there's a sweet silence too. Like, I'm appreciating that, even just to reflect, and for anyone who's listening and participating to just be in the space of reflection of what this could mean for all of us, you know, to come into this work. How's it feeling for you, John, in this moment?
Just bliss, really. But just very happy, very enjoying, like, more things to say, like, are coming into my mind, and it's like you said, I see it a bit like a cross training, like if there's, you know, an integral, there's different lines of intelligence. So, and there's something about circling where you're practicing meditation in a way as you go, but you're also getting feedback. So you're doing shadow work. Mm-hmm. You're also coming more into your body. So there's an embodiment practice. You're getting closer to your emotions. There's interpersonal stuff happening. So it's like working that intelligence. So it's kind of like all these different muscles that often we'll train one thing at a time. It's like they all get done together. And then there's the surrender aspect to it, of really surrendering into what's here. And that's allowing the mystery to come. So there's the spiritual side as well. And it's that mix of those, all of those together continually, that makes it such a rich, and like you said, you want to carry on, because no circle's the same. Like, every night we lead, it's like you do not know what's going to come up in the space. So it's, there's endless creativity possible. And I just feel a lot of joy to share this, because it brings home again the power of this work, and how much people can be touched by it, and I think the importance of it as well.
Absolutely. And I'm sure, like, in the years that you have both been present to this work, you've seen and experienced so many shifts in others, in yourself. If you could sum it up in one way, what would you say is one of the most striking things that have shifted for you over the years of doing this work? Amy, anything?
It's funny to answer that right now, because you just shared that you're in a place of facing personal challenges, and I'm there too. So it's interesting for me to look and claim in this moment where I am. I would say the greatest shift that I've experienced is my capacity to really powerfully communicate and powerfully lead. To bring myself forward, what's true, in a way that others can receive and understand it. There are many things, but that's one that feels good to share right now.
Yeah, and you do. You hold such a grounded, open space for people to explore. You really do, you hold such a loving space that just, I think, brings a level of comfort that allows people to go deeper. Yeah, I've experienced that with you.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. What about for you, John?
I think the biggest thing has been my range of experience has just continued to increase through doing circling. So I'm just still on a weekly basis experiencing things that I had never experienced before, just feelings I'd never felt before, realizations I'd never had. And then it's the phrase that comes to me is like, hurts more, bothers less. There's something around like there's more space to, like, my container for what I can be is increased. And I myself am also in some hard times, you know, today, and been feeling a lot of background pain, and I want to find a way to honor on this call, like, I feel like we shared a lot of the beauty of circling and the keys that it brings, and then this other side of, like, never ending, you know, we never reach the point of completion, and yeah, but that my capacity to hold more in me and have a greater range, a fuller life, more aliveness, meet more and hold more in others as well, has definitely increased. But that has been a tough journey at times, and it is for people. It's quite common in circling for their first few times to be just like amazing, blissful experiences. And then suddenly they start to hit some of the more challenging things, you know, that are ingrained, and that, you know, we have our patterns for good reasons. And, you know, there's lots of unconscious pain stored in our bodies that hasn't been touched for a long time. And so it, you know, over time it opens up to actually the depth of work that we can do from all these different disciplines, and, you know, in psychotherapy or body work, or, you know, over time, we just become more and more aware of our limitations and our areas for further growth. But the beauty that we come back to again and again with circling is that this, like, we can always honor where we are. And that's what I think we've all experienced in this call. I certainly have, is like this beautiful intimacy and kind of total okayness of where we are.
Yeah.
And yeah, there's no bank, there's no solution to, there's no end place.
Yeah, I love that too. You know, it's just this process, this never ending, beautiful, this endless process of exploration. And the idea of capacity, I like that the way that you worded that is really powerful, because it really is about stretching, right? Our capacity to feel, our capacity to be present, our capacity to hold our pain, even to hold our grief when those things happen, you know, so that we can be with it in a loving way, so that we can still be in the joy, the endless, always present state of joy that's with us, even when we're in grief. You know, but that capacity, as that capacity deepens, we really have the ability to hold ourselves and each other just with much wider arms, you know? Mm-hmm. And that's, I feel, something that's calling to all of us right now in our world. And there's kind of a collective grief that we're experiencing, you know, and coming back together and connecting with what's alive in us, who we are, being seen, seeing each other, being present to what's here in a non-judgmental way, but in a way that's authentically curious, you know, and alive and explores and asks questions. We need that. That can completely shift our lives and this world right now. You know, I think there's that much power in this work. There's that much power here. And obviously today we just had a little taste, and you know, there's a lot more. And you know, the beauty too, you guys are offering some incredible gifts as well, you know, for people to dive into this even more. But before we get into those, is there anything else that you want to share about this work? I know we could go on forever because there's so much here, but to really be in the heart of this, or anything else that needs to come through right now. Where is the movement going?
Well, a passion for me is helping to birth new communities that are centered around authentic relating and circling. I've had this amazing privilege to travel to South Africa and to Florida and South Carolina, and I certainly encourage anyone who's intrigued by this, who might want to foster this in your own hometown, to reach out to me to explore how that might happen. And to look at how these tools can support people who are already facilitators of other practices is really powerful also, and something that I'm exploring.
Yeah. Thank you, Amy. That is a great invitation. And we've had you here in South Florida quite a few times now.
Yeah.
Building community here, and it's been beautiful to dive into this with you.
It's been a pleasure.
Yeah. And what about you, John? What's happening with Circling Europe? How's that unfolding right now?
It's growing very quickly. Like, it's growing as quickly as we can kind of handle, and certainly there's a dedicated community. There's tons of trained leaders, and there's people who really practice this, who take it seriously, not just as a one-off experience, but as a way to practice and better themselves. And I'm genuinely curious as to how far it can reach out, because we're starting to go out into business now, because it has huge impact for leadership development and team building and creativity, and even like the organization of businesses, like reinventing organizations, the success of that book, and Circling's like this deeply trusting practice that I think can have huge impact in businesses that are wanting to evolve and develop the way they organize things. But I'm curious as to how, as it becomes more, now that it's available online for people and people are coming in through that, which is something that's very new for us, that we now have like the online course and Circle Anywhere, where there's these circle facilitator led circles being led every day. It means that people can access it very, very easily. And I'm genuinely curious as to how far the outreach can go, because it is a deeply human practice. It's open to anyone, and that's, I want to extend that invite to, you know, this is for absolutely anyone. And it's a deep practice. It can be confronting at times, and it can open up things. It can open, you know, rabbit holes, threads, and you know, I'm not saying it's for everyone, but it could be for, you know, there's no one's excluded.
It might not be for everyone, but it could be for anyone. That's awesome. And you know, this is the first time that I had even that little taste in an online experience like this. It's always been in person for me. So it is amazing how powerful it can be. And so first, I do want to talk about the gifts, because it does include that. And then you can tell us a little bit more about Circle Anywhere. So first, as a free download, you guys are giving away the Deeper Connection Toolkit, right? And that's a 2-hour live online circling introduction. So people can come and experience this. Come, stay, be where you are, and go online and experience it from the comfort of your own home and have a 2-hour deep dive. So that's one beautiful offering. And then the $30 discount on the first month for Circle Anywhere. And for those of you that are upgrading, if you have, or if you're planning to do that as part of our bonus package, you're giving away a 30-day circling course. So tell us a little bit about Circle Anywhere and then that amazing course that's part of the upgrade package.
Yeah, Circle Anywhere has been running about a year now, and we have about 3 or 4 facilitator-led circles every day. So you can get online, 10 people on the screen, one person in Hawaii, one in Norway, one in South Africa, and we basically circle a bit like we have in those moments today. And it is profound how deep it can go online and how much people can get that sense of presence and intimacy. And so it's been a great addition to our programs, because obviously people can't always travel and it can be expensive to go to workshops, and this way it can just be in the comfort of your own home and a way to kind of dial into that energy and that aliveness and the opportunities each day.
Beautiful. And what about this e-course? What's that all about?
Do you want to speak to that, Amy?
Well, the e-course is basically an opportunity to, it's a written course. Well, actually, I'm not sure, John, if it's been updated now. I think that it's changed. So, but it's basically a self-guided course that takes you through the principles and practices of circling. And some of the theory and teachings.
Nice. So it's really like a full, complete 1 month, you know, to really get what this is all about. Right. And then you get to have that free $30 off the first month, the free 2-hour, so many good things.
Yeah. And then also a downloadable communication toolkit from the Connection Movement. Nice. Key practices and ways of approaching connection and communication that can deepen the way you relate.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. You guys are giving us so many goodies. Thank you. It's there's every way for you guys out there listening to get involved. And if you're feeling called to do this and become part of this movement, become part of this movement, because it's a powerful one. It really is. Ooh, this has been really rich. Thank you so much, John, Amy. Really, it's such a blessing to have you in the world doing this work and leading this movement and, you know, inviting us to connect more deeply.
Thank you for having us. It's been a real pleasure.
Yes. Thank you.